Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Oh, and away we go on this Wednesday, live in our State Street studios. Yurk and I haven't done a show together since last Monday. I've missed you. We're back together.
Right. I mean, Monday, Tuesday was this. I was gone Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Yeah.
Monday, you were on vacation.
Yeah.
Yesterday was spring trading.
Last
Here we
day.
Are now, Wednesday.
Thank God. I was missing you,
What the hell's
my friend.
Going on? It's 9 days.
I know.
It's 9 days.
I can't go that long without seeing you.
9 days since you looked at me.
I don't. Can't go that long without seeing
well,
the good,
good
kid.
To see you. It's good to see you. It's good to see
good
you.
To
and
see
it's
you.
Good to hear your dulcet tones. I can close my eyes and know I'm in my security blanket and hammock of comfortability with you.
I heard you with Shay the other day, and you
angry
know,
angry man, angry man. That Shay Norling is just an angry man.
He's feisty. I'll tell you. I did a show with Shay last week when you were gone last Wednesday.
Feisty.
He is feisty. He really is.
Go ahead. You're laughing.
He talked about. He talked about your pecker being out on one of the tee boxes.
Yes, he did. That's absolutely what he talked about.
He's feisty.
Yeah.
But you, I love how you're like, I'm a little bit more optimistic on the White Sox. I'm feeling 67 wins.
I am. I'm channeling 67 victories.
And I'm like, how bad are they going to be that Yurko's feeling optimistic they're going to win 67 games?
I mean,
I'm
let's do a statistical analysis of my prediction. Now that the trade of Dylan Cease has gone through, their number moved from 63 and changed down to 61.
It did.
I actually have the White Sox playing 10% better than expectations.
This is optimistic. You're right.
So,
you're
I
right.
Mean, compared with the rest of the world, I'm feeling pretty good about what the White Sox might be able to produce this year.
So tomorrow is opening day. We've got a ton of football, and believe me, we're jumping right in with it in a second here. New mock draft and stuff like that. But just a couple of announcements. Tomorrow is opening day. And the Cubs open on the road against the defending champs in Texas. That'll be a national game. So if you don't have Marquee Network, I do not. And then, you know, with MLB, you still have the blackout. So it kind of sucks. But I do not have Marquee Network as a YouTube TV subscriber.
Yeah, I don't know whether I have it or I don't have it. I don't know where I've got to maneuver to find it. I've got a handful
like
of things out there.
Don't.
Well, I know. I'm just saying. I've got I've got Peacock. I've got Amazon Prime.
Right.
I've got a slew of things. But if I got to pay extra for it, I'm not paying.
No,
extra
I know
for
you
it.
Won't.
Absolutely.
Well,
not.
Tomorrow night you can watch him live anyway because they're the national ESPN game.
If David Ross was still here. I would maybe buy it, but because David Ross is
so
here.
Full of it.
Yeah,
you
he's
are
gone.
So full of it.
Yeah, he was clipped in the back of the legs. He's Jackie Slater.
He was hip drop tackled.
Yeah, right
got
in
a
the
swivel
back.
Tackle.
Exactly, right in the back of the legs by Craig Council.
Tomorrow is our big baseball prediction show for 2024. Wait till you see who I have as NL Manager of the Year. There's a little tease. There's
imagine.
A little tease.
Yeah.
Your coach. So tomorrow, though, you can watch the Cubs. They're on the road defending champs in Texas. That's a national game at night.
My Major League Baseball Gambler of the Year goes to Shohei.
I
can tell you
I
right
give
now,
you that.
I'm going to put
not
that
kidding.
Down.
We should make that one of the categories.
Yeah, one of the categories. Gambler
tomorrow, the White Sox open at 3:10 on the south side right here in your home for White Sox baseball against the Tigers. Yurko and I will be on the south side. So if you're going to the game, come by and see us. At Cork and Carry at the park. We will be there noon until 2:30.
With bells on.
Connor McKnight will join us live at 12:35. Brooks Boyer is going to come by live at some point and talk about the new offerings at the park.
Toughest job in the world. Toughest job in the world,
Brooks
Boyer has. Man, I'm telling you.
It ain't easy.
It's easier being president of the United States.
It ain't easy, my friend.
Yeah.
So Brooks will come by. We'll have our big baseball preview show. But most importantly, we'll be drinking Miller Lite. We've got tickets to give away for a game later this month, maybe when it warms up a little, a game at the end of April, a weekend game, too. Great seats for a weekend game when Tampa comes to town at the end of next month. It's still only March. At the end of April, about a month from now. So come by, see us. You can win tickets. You can have a nice cold Miller Lite, maybe a High Life. And if it ain't High Life, it ain't my life. That's what I always say. So hang with Yurk and me tomorrow at Cork and Carry. And then on Monday for Cubs opening day with the Rockies in town, we will be on the north side, and we'll be on early. We are preempting Mike and Mike. The Sox have a day game against Atlanta Monday, so we're going to jump on live at Bernie's in Wrigleyville right after Cap and Hoodie. They start their show at 7 a.m. at Bernie's. Jed Hoyer is going to be by at some point at the bar joining the guys live. We will get to crosstalk with them. We'll be on at 10 o'clock until 12:30 until White Sox pregame on Monday. So there's your rundown for opening days on the south and north sides as baseball officially gets underway tomorrow. So I just wanted to get that out there. There's a little public service announcement.
That helps me also.
In there. Yeah, well, I wanted to remind you.
That kind of gives me a little bit of a reminder as we move forward where exactly we're going to be. Busy time.
Busy time.
Busy time. How's last week out and about?
It was great.
Hardwood Hookies.
We missed you. Cap and I had a blast on Thursday. Thayer was terrific filling in for you at the Piazza on Friday. A lot of people there on Friday were asking. That's why I texted you. They wanted an update from Pinehurst. But Tommy was great. We had great crowds. The game, it was fun. I mean, we had a really good time at both events, and I anticipate we'll have a great time tomorrow. I'm bringing my son with me. My kids are on spring break this week, so he's going to come and hang at the bar, and then we're going to the game.
We'll do some Boilermakers
tomorrow.
I don't know if Purdue plays on tomorrow, but we can do some
Boilermakers. Purdue does play tomorrow, right?
Do they?
I believe Purdue. Oh, no. I might have that wrong. Purdue might be Friday, now that I think about it. Yeah, Purdue is Friday. Illinois plays the late game tomorrow night. Is the Sweet 16 returns.
The old Boilermakers, the old shot in the beer, right?
That's a shot
in the
beer.
That's exactly what you got. Throw the shot in the beer, you wolf it on down.
I'm looking forward to Purdue-Gonzaga here.
Right there.
I'm looking forward to that game, Purdue-Gonzaga. It's going to be a good one.
I am too, yeah.
You feel, real quick here, I don't want to, you know, like, you're a big college basketball guy. How was the first weekend for you?
Chalky. Yeah. Very chalky, yeah.
Is that good or bad
for upsets this year? Chalky. Still got Iowa State.
Okay.
Iowa State's still floating.
Hey, Iowa State's fighting Illini.
Going against the Fighting Illini.
Mm-hmm.
Going to have a real good offense against a real good defense.
Yes, you
we'll
are.
See how it is. Smokey and I talked about it this morning.
Okay.
Smokey's upstairs. I don't know if you saw him by chance.
I saw him.
Yeah.
Smokey is Justin
Pottinger. So Smokey
Pottinger.
And I broke it down. He has Illinois advancing, and I don't blame him, you know.
Okay.
In-state school. Not Chicago's Big Ten team.
No.
By any stretch of the imagination. Oh, we'll find out what ends up going through.
Yeah, very chalky, though. You're not kidding.
Very, very
more than
chalky.
We've seen in years past.
Yeah, I mean, Duke got dumped and Kentucky got dumped.
But the ratings have been good.
The Calipari thing, I don't care about the ratings.
No, I know. I'm just saying, even with all the chalkiness, but the ratings have been good. The thing with Calipari,
it sets up for a real nice week this week.
I think so.
It sets up for a nice round, a nice second weekend. So I think that's going to be fantastic. The Calipari way is no longer the Calipari way. Can't keep doing these one-and-dones. Three of these Kentucky kids are like in the top 20 of the first round in the draft this year.
Is that right?
Yeah. Okay, great. They're coming to you for 1 year. They're leaving. Guess what? It's not leading to any success.
Not they like it used to.
Year. Did the 1 year, right? Did the 1 year early on in the one and done process. It worked for them 1 year. They won a national championship. After that, three of the last 4 years, they've been dumped.
Was that Anthony Davis?
Oh, I can't tell you when it was. How the hell am I supposed to remember?
I'm just trying to remember.
I just know they've done it once.
Like if it was Anthony Davis, you know, you'd maybe understand why. You're talking about a truly special generational type player, both at the college and pro level. You know, so I could be wrong about that. I'm just wondering if it was Anthony Davis.
I don't remember.
You're right.
I'm thinking it's kind of gone.
It hasn't worked.
Yeah, and you might have to try something a little bit different.
If you want to join us at any point today, you can ring us up at 312-332-3776. You're watching us, hopefully, on YouTube. You can join the chat there. You can watch every day on YouTube or on Twitch. And we are live in our ESPN Chicago State Street studios. We've got a new mock draft out. I'd like to talk to you about that. Courtney Cronin's going to join us at 12:35. But Matt Miller from ESPN.com did a full 7-round mock. Boy, that's an arduous task, isn't it? A full 7-round mock.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're throwing darts against the wall once you get to the second, third round.
Sweet Lord.
Much less the 7th round.
Right? Here we go. Round 1, number 1 overall. This is not a surprise, and barring some weird thing with the medicals next week, they can already just write the name on the card because this is happening. Caleb Williams to the Bears. And he writes, the Bears trading Justin Fields to Pittsburgh cements their selection of a quarterback at number 1 overall. Williams is not only the best one in this class, he's also the best of the past decade. A talented creator under center, he accounted for 120 touchdowns in his 3 years in college to just 14 picks. The Bears have built a fantastic supporting cast, allowing Williams the chance to see instant success. He'll be a week one starter and could have a C.J. Stroud-like impact here. Well, that's lofty considering the year C.J. Stroud just came off of, Yerk. You have been saying all along the best thing that can happen for the Bears is the run on quarterbacks, and man, it looks like it's going to happen. The J.J. McCarthy thing is the best to happen to the Bears.
It's real, though.
It's the best thing to happen.
It's real.
Real in terms of you think he's going in the top 8? Is that what you mean?
Oh, yeah. It's real. Absolutely, yes.
I think you're probably right, and it's the best thing that could happen to the Bears.
To let a receiver slip down to the Bears.
Because you know who Matt Miller has in his mock available at 9? Roma Dunze.
Yeah.
and he's got the Bears taking Adunze. He then, with the 75th pick, has the Bears going with Jonah Ellis out of Utah. Listen, I like Utah defensive players because they are normally feisty and scrappy, and that team plays with an edge. Ask Caleb Williams. Ask the haters that see
they
play with an edge, and you'll remember Jonah Ellis's pappy, Yurko. You played he was a defensive guy like
you. LaPhonso Ellis. Loved him. Yes. LaPhonso, down on the block. No, who's his dad?
Luther Ellis is his
dad. Of course.
Yes.
Of course.
Who?
Detroit. Luther Ellis. Detroit. Defensive end. Yes. I remember. Luther.
Ellis. So I love
Luther.
The guy.
Luther!
I love the guys that come from good stock.
Right.
I won't pretend to be able to give you a tremendous breakdown about Jonah, but I'm just telling you, he comes from NFL stock. His daddy played a long time in the NFL, was a contemporary of the good kids.
His pappy.
And I generally like the Utah defensive guys. I think Whittingham always has those guys playing with an edge. Chris watches a lot of Pac-12 football. He loves USC. And, you know, teams like USC have historically struggled with Utah because they just play with an edge. They play with some nasty. And so I
great line play. Always.
Right, Chris?
Always.
I love
offense and defense.
Always. And so, you know, if you tell me at 75, you get a kid that has, you know, rushed the passer at Utah the last couple of years, whose dad played in the league, hey, sign me up. The last guy I can't give you anything about, I'm sorry, at pick 122, Christian Mahogany, a guard from Boston College. Historically a good...
Well, if you want to go, offensive lineman, that's probably where you head. Boston College, Pittsburgh used to be the old school. USC used to produce a lot of linemen.
Oh yeah,
but I think if you went to Boston College and said you had a lineman coming out, they'd say, "Hey, good pedigree there."
Yes, but I
a lot of guys drafted all over the yard too.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Tommy Nalen, Boston College guy, a hell of a center,
terrific,
one of the baddest guys that I played against.
Terrific.
Tougher than nails, okay? I'm just going to let you know that.
Great
wasn't
player.
The best guy, but he was formidable for a sixth-round draft choice. Absolutely formidable.
Yep.
Boston College, you look at that. No matter where they're drafted, they always find a way to stick in the NFL and to play and to be effective.
Chris Lidstrom is one of the best guards in football, and he went to Boston College.
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot of great linemen from there. So now, again, you're projecting out 122 picks. Good luck to you being right. And, you know, Joan Ellis might not be there at the time. Who knows? But
the Bears did get Mark Colombo out of Boston College, right?
Yeah, they did. And, you know, Mark had a career in this league. And
played well.
He just had a devastating knee injury as a rookie here, and it never worked out. Yeah. But Mark Colombo was a Boston College kid. You're 100% right about that.
The Wydell brothers, Boston College.
I believe you're correct.
Both of the Wydells. Chris Snee, guard from
Chris
New York Giants.
Chris Snee is correct.
Mary Coughlin's daughter.
Yeah, it's Tom Coughlin's son.
Boston College product, too.
Yeah, there's been a bunch of good ones.
You can go forever. We'd be here all day talking about Boston College offensive line.
I want to react more to this, and I want to play you a few things about the draft, the process, what polls had to say about only having four picks. I want to play you something that I don't know if you heard it yesterday. We played it, Cap and I played it in the afternoon when we were in for Waddle and Sylvie.
Good for you,
but
too.
I want to spin it again. Kyle Brandt talking about the Bears and Caleb Williams, and we'll react to all that. Courtney Cronin joins us with the Bears update at 12:35. If you want to ring us up today, you can at 312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. Carmen and Yurko are back.
No.
This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
No.
Come on.
Hope everyone's having a great afternoon. It's Carmen and Yurk on ESPN Chicago and the ESPN Chicago app. Just looking at Matt Miller's new 7-round mock on ESPN.com. He's got the Bears taking Caleb Williams 1. Rome Odunze still being there because of the run on quarterbacks 4 inside the top 8 before the Bears pick 9, leaving the Bears to select Rome Odunze. I'd love it if it played out that way. 1 month from tomorrow when the draft begins in Detroit. I want to play something for you, York. This was yesterday on Good Morning Football. Our buddy Kyle Brandt talking about the Bears and Caleb Williams. Take a listen.
Bring up the Bears statistics defensively over the last 6 weeks of the season. Well, read them and weep, fellas and lady.
Wow.
First in points per game allowed, first in rushing touchdowns allowed tied, and first interception. I also want you to know that those 13 interceptions, that is the most in a 6-game streak since the heyday of the Legion of Boom in Seattle.
Oh. Wow.
The Bears defense was cooking at the end of the season. Nobody remembers this. They blasted the Lions down the stretch.
Yep.
They won by 2 touchdowns over the Dan Campbell Lions, who should have been in the Super Bowl. Now, they were not a good team. They did not have a good record, and they finished the season only scoring 9 points offensively. Look it up. That day, the Jordan Love Packers also headed to the playoffs, scored 13 points. Mm-hmm. The defense was awesome. The offense was not. Enter Keenan Allen. Enter DeAndre Swift. And enter Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams, I'll say it right now, will break the streak for Chicago Bears. They have never had a 4,000-yard passer. He will have it in his rookie year.
Year one.
He will have 4,000 yards in year one. They will come out throwing. They will come out running. That offense is ready. The defense was one of the best in the NFL in the last 6 weeks, if not the best. Remember, Eberflus, defensive guy, older guy, old school, defense, hit, tackle. He got this thing working finally. They couldn't get the offense working. It just wouldn't work. In Justin Fields' finale, he scores 9 points in his last game as a Bear against the arch rival. Goodbye. Enter Caleb, huge talent, much better set of weapons in front of him. They also have the 9 pick who's going to be in there who might be another weapon, or it'll be a defensive player and an edge rusher you throw into one of the best defenses at the end of the year last year. The 4,000-yard streak will be broken. I don't think a wild card is out of question. I'm telling you, at the end of the season, as good as they were, don't forget what they did to Detroit, who's going to be the big dog in that division this year along with Green Bay. They have issues to settle with the Packers. They always do historically. 4,000 yards this year, one of the best defenses in football, and one of the highest upsides on offense. I like the Bears this year. Caleb, the 9 pick, everything else. I'm into it, guys. I don't apologize for it.
Thoughts?
He should be excited. He should be excited. And if Caleb Williams is as good as they say with the weapons they have, including Cole Kmet, the two wide receivers, maybe a third receiver coming on board, running backs, interchangeable parts, doesn't make a difference.
Yes.
Hopefully with a defense that's going to be better also, and I think that'll be addressed in the draft. I do think that there's a possibility. Now, you know what you've got to do to become a 4,000-yard passer now.
235 yards a game.
236. 235 okay. and change. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
But to be over 4,000, you need 236 yards. If he's as good as everybody says, if he's the world beater, if he's a guy that doesn't want to run and he wants to throw the ball, which is the description that everybody keeps telling me, he's a guy that wants to extend the play, wants to look downfield and still make the connection in the right direction, and the crowd starts yelling interjections, hooray, all types of good things, right? If all that happens, then that's a prediction that's not far-fetched. You know what I'm saying? That's not something that you're really kind of... You're extending yourself too far.
So the 17th game helps. Yurko's 100% right if he plays a full season. I quizzed Cap and the guys yesterday in the afternoon on this.
Two touchdowns a game, by the way, gets you to 34.
Yeah?
Two touchdowns a game average. You may not have two touchdowns every single game, but on average, if you have a three-touchdown game and a one-touchdown, you know, you should be above 30 touchdowns, too, which would both be records for the Chicago Bears.
Now, only one rookie quarterback has ever thrown 30 touchdowns in a season, 30 or more. That's Justin Herbert. He's the only guy to ever do it. That one's a little harder. Only 5, Yurko, have ever thrown for 4,000 yards. Sam Hell is going on. That's funny. Some guy walked by with like a picture of Yurko and a thought bubble. What Sam Hell is going on?
Jersey too, from one of the back of my football.
But that was
cards.
In a fishing net.
That's awesome.
He had Yurko
to hold it up.
He needed some signage.
Yurko was in a fishing net, and you had a thought bubble,
and it said, "What in Sam Hell is going on?
What in the Sam Hell is going on?"
That's funny because that's one of Yurko's sayings. That
was probably
funny.
During the post game show when the Bears lost against the Denver Broncos. I bet you, I fired that one out right away,
and he just walked by.
He kept walking. He didn't stop.
He just walked by.
He's just going south on State Street now with a big fishing net and a picture of Yurko.
That's awesome.
We've all got things to do today.
I like that.
Yurko, only 5 quarterbacks that had their rookie status, okay? Only 5 rookie quarterbacks in the history of the NFL have ever thrown for 4,000 yards in a season.
Right.
Can you name them?
Only 5 quarterbacks.
5. And it's all, I'll give you a hint, don't say Marino because he played 9 games his first year. He didn't throw for it. It's all happened since 2011, obviously.
All happened since 2011. Rookie quarterbacks that have been able to throw for 4,000 yards.
Yes.
And it's all happened since 2011 is what you're telling me.
Yes. And I'm hoping.
Andrew Luck.
That's correct. Andrew Luck did it in 2012. He was the second guy to ever do it.
There you go. So somebody did it in 2011 before him.
Yes.
Oh, I need a team.
He was a number one overall pick who would later go on to win an MVP award, but he would never again, believe it or not, throw for 4,000 yards in a season. He did it as a rookie and then never did it again, but he was an MVP,
took his team to the Super Bowl. They lost. But the year he was the MVP, he threw for like 3,800 yards, Yerk. But he also rushed for 10 touchdowns, if that helps.
Cam Newton.
Cam Newton is the first guy to ever do it.
Cam Newton. That's what helped me.
You've got the first two. Cam Newton did it. Andrew Luck did it.
I need how many more?
You need three more.
Cam Newton, Andrew Luck.
Guy did it last year.
Oh, C.J. Stroud.
C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, obviously. C.J. Stroud. Hold on. I'm going back to the quarterbacks, multiple quarterbacks years. The kid in Buffalo.
Nope. He played nine games, I think, as a rookie.
He didn't get the full slate.
Didn't play the full season.
Activities. Yep. Guys are still active in the league.
Oh, yeah. Guys are still active. One's incredible. I just read a stat about him, actually.
Jalen Hurts. Mm-mm. No. It's not Tua.
Not Tua.
No, he's split time.
Guy out west who was the only guy to ever throw 30 touchdowns as a rookie.
That's our guy, the quarterback for San Francisco.
No, not San Francisco.
The guy, Russell Wilson, that was out west in Seattle.
No, Justin Herbert. I just said that. Justin Herbert.
Yes. Oh, okay. Well,
Justin Herbert. The other guy to do it was Jameis Winston. That's it.
Jameis.
The list is Andrew Luck, Justin Herbert, C.J. Stroud, Cam Newton, Jameis Winston. All in the new era of football in a passing league, all since 2011. Yurko mentioned the added game and how that's even lowered what you have to throw for on average per game to get to that mark.
Jameis also with a 5,000 season.
That is correct. He does. Yeah. Yes, he does have Tampa a 5,000.
That was that 30-30 year, right?
Yes, that's correct.
A 33-30 year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can Caleb Williams do it with all the pieces that are going to be around him? If he plays, like Yurko said, to his capability and what people think, and he plays all 17 games, then maybe he will be the first Bear to ever do it.
That's the challenge, the playing of the games.
Yeah, of course.
The being able to play 17 games is the difficult aspect. Even C.J. Stroud couldn't play 17 games last year.
Yeah, C.J. played 15, Yurk, I think.
Yeah, he missed
right?
two of them. Remember, he missed two of them?
I believe that's right.
That's hey, what guys, I had, losing what if, the MVP.
What if we're looking at these numbers? What if the Bears are too good? And so in the second half of games, because of the defense, because of the lead from the offense, Caleb Williams won't actually be passing in the fourth quarter. Therefore, the yardage won't actually be there.
Bears. He made it around the block, Carm.
Oh, look, our guy's going around.
This guy's got some sweet stuff. Got carbonara.
Smells Yurko's Carmen's carbonara. He's just walking around in circles
He's
like different
thought bubbles, too. But he's changing the thought bubbles.
He knows he could just walk back north and not have to go around the block to do the bit, right?
He
walked
the
entire block to do this bit.
He cut through the alley.
Yeah, he probably cut through the alley.
Yeah, but still, that's a full city block of walking. He is committing to this bit.
And he's stopping to change.
He's changing the thought bubble. The thought bubble keeps changing.
The face Yurko makes when he smells Carmen's carbonara.
He's coming back. Somebody have the video ready. Carm, have the video ready.
All right, I'll have my camera ready.
This is great. This is more effort than I would do for a bit. I mean, this is a lot of work.
Well, if they send us to whatchamacallit, my long snapper to the hall,
oh, God.
My long snap to the hall.org. Yeah. It's going to be something special.
I love how that comes up. We're making the crawl back to the hall, Yurko.
That's
a lot
right.
of Bears going in. Bears are in the Hall of Fame game on August 1st. That was in it. Well, last time we were there is when the Bears played because Urlacher went in.
That's right.
And that was in 2018?
It felt like 2018.
18, I think, right?
It felt like 2018, yeah. And this one's got three Bears going in, kid.
This one has three Chicago Bears going
in. Julius Peppers half and half. I don't know what they'll give him. I mean, Chicago obviously be on the thing, but Julius Peppers played for the Packers, Carolina Panthers, and for the Chicago Bears.
Yes, most of his years in Carolina, obviously. But he had a couple of his great years with the Bears, too.
Whoa. What's going on out here?
That is a couple, Yurko, that we'll be taking.
More wedding photos.
Wedding photos, I believe.
Somebody needs citizenship. Holy mother.
I've seen that show.
Wow.
Have you watched that show?
That's a good show, yeah.
90 Day Fiancé?
Yeah.
I love it.
I think you got to stay married for like two years before the government kind of gives you the rubber stamp after that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, because they don't want funny business.
Exactly. You can't have
But if you watch the show, that's all the show is. It's funny
brides,
business.
You know? Ukrainian brides for 1,000. Yeah.
All right. We'll see if the guy with the Yurko thought bubble comes by again. We're going to talk to Courtney Cronin coming up here after a quick break. After that, I want to play Ryan Poles discussing the four draft picks he has, and only four, in next month's draft. And why, if you're reading between the lines of what he said, that might be enough in their minds. He had an interesting explanation, so I want to play that a little bit later on, and we can react to the first couple of drafts that we've seen Ryan Poles conduct as general manager of our beloved Bears. Ring us up at 312-332-3776. Courtney Cronin joins us with the Bears update next.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Carmen and Yurko are back. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Another busy week, man. NFL talk, NFL chatter, NFL news. They sure know how to lay out this calendar, man. In owners' meetings this week, some rules changes. You had a lot of important people in the Bears organization doing a bunch of talking. That included Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus. And the decision is becoming more and more clear that they're drafting Caleb Williams, barring something weird with the medicals next week. Let's bring in our insider. And you see her all over ESPN TV and her great stuff for ESPN.com. Follow her on X at Courtney R. Cronin. And she joins us now on the CarX Tire and Auto Guest Hotline. It's Courtney Cronin. Hey, Courtney, how are you?
Hey, guys, I'm good. How are you doing?
We're great. It's certainly, I mean, this is like, it's not some sort of smokescreen or big ruse or anything, right? I mean, they might as well start writing the name down on the card, barring something weird that happens with the physical next week. They seem to love Caleb Williams, and I don't think they're just trying to dupe other teams. That's going to be the pick, right?
I mean, it feels like that, and I don't know why they would go speak about him in such glowing terms if they weren't sure. You know what I mean? That does them no good if they were just doing this for smokescreen or doing this to, you know, put the, I don't know. There's like literally no rhyme or reason to why they would do that. He was the only prospect anybody talked about that was there from the Bears by name publicly at owners meetings, and that leads you to believe that they're confident. I mean, they wouldn't have traded Justin Fields 2 weeks ago had they been overly concerned about anything with Caleb Williams. I think that that's the big takeaway that I had in talking to Ryan Poles and talking to Matt Eberflus and even, you know, Kevin Warren and George McCaskey to a degree, despite the fact that they're not the ones ultimately you know, making that happen. It is Poles and Eberflus, but it's, you know, everybody's kind of saying the same thing and toting the same line right now about the prospect who the Bears got to spend a lot of time with out in Southern, you know, in LA last week when they were at USC's Pro Day. And then on top of that, now it's getting him in for the 30 visit, and they've already started teaching him the offense. Mm-hmm. So that's Not that wouldn't happen with other prospects, but like they're doing that to test his recall, to test his ability to relay that information, to take it in and then spit it back at the coaches. And I get the vibe that they feel good right now. I think it's pretty obvious publicly speaking, but from where the team is right now in talking with people inside that building, there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of excitement. It doesn't feel like the red flags that we might have been concerned about, and certainly they've got their information that, you know, they're privy to that others might not be privy to, that, you know, helps them ultimately make a sound decision that they can go off of. But yeah, we're going to have to wait the 10 minutes because you know how the NFL works. You know how ESPN and NFL Network want to milk that thing for as much as they can. And even though it's going to feel pretty obvious, barring something, you know, cataclysmic happening over the next 4 weeks, he's going to be in Chicago that Friday after the draft for his introductory press conference.
There's been a lot of hoopla out there about four quarterbacks going into top eight now mm-hmm. that J.J. McCarthy has got some momentum going, which almost guarantees that a wide receiver will be sitting there at nine. What is the inclination of the Chicago Bears? Is it receiver? Is it pass rusher? Or is it let's move down a little bit and see what else we can get?
I do think that if they can move back, they will. Because they have four draft picks right now. Of course, if there's somebody there that they're absolutely head over heels with, if the board falls away where Roma Dunze or, you know, Joe Alt might be there, some wide receiver or offensive tackle, maybe they go that direction. But we know how Ryan Poles likes to handle the draft, and they don't have a lot of draft capital at the moment. So if that opportunity presented itself, I could see that happening. But the three other needs, there's three other, you know, potential picks that they could have at nine. I put it in the order of wide receiver, edge rusher, offensive tackle in terms of importance, in terms of what they need right now. Now, that's not to say that they wouldn't draft best player available there. Like if it goes 1 through 8 offense and there's, you know, they have their pick of whoever they want at on defense, the top defensive player available, that's a smart move. They need another edge rusher. But when you hear Matt Eberflus talk about getting somebody who can affect the quarterback or help the quarterback, you can interpret that a number of different ways, but affecting the quarterback, it doesn't just mean getting after the quarterback. I could see that meaning help somebody who can help with depth in the receiver room, somebody who can help with pass protection up front, and truly the infrastructure that they're building around the presumed number one overall pick, Caleb Williams, is all about making sure that player's insulated and has the best weapons around him in order to succeed from an early state of his career.
Been a hectic couple of weeks here, you know, considering where we are in the NFL offseason and the calendar, but has there been much discussion between the Bears and Keenan Allen about possibly extending him? I don't know. Like, part of me thinks, why would he be in their long-term plans? I could see why they think he's extremely valuable for a young quarterback coming up this year, but quarterbacks over the age of 32, 33 historically don't produce very well in this league. But, I mean, how much do you think they want him to be around long-term, and have they talked to him about extending that contract out?
The contract talk right now is not their main focus. And I asked Ryan Poles about this the other day, and he said that he wants to be intentional with the timing of these deals. Maybe that's a sign that he wants to get something done with DJ Moore. I mean, remember, DJ's under contract through 2025 and the deal that he signed with Carolina a couple of years ago. But it's still, like, DJ produced. And, I mean, there's a difference in age and difference in what these contract extensions are going to look like because DJ's 26 and Keenan Allen's 32. But I know what they've said. And they said that, like, you know, down the road, that'll be something that they want to deal with. They're not a Super Bowl team yet. Like, let's wait to see if they can get to the playoffs next year before you're talking about trading a fourth-round pick for the person that's going to get you over the hump. It's not like what San Francisco did. I know it's a completely different position, but giving up a third for Chase Young and then letting him walk in free agency, they got him for a Super Bowl run. Now, whatever he did, you know, that's neither here nor there in the grand scheme of things, but they didn't sign Keenan Allen, or they didn't trade for Keenan Allen expecting him to be a short-term rental. That's not what you do. Okay. For a team, of course, you want to make sure you have your quarterback surrounded by wide receivers who, you know, maybe more to provide more depth than they had last year, but this is not a depth addition. This is a starting option opposite your number one guy right now. And if all goes well, he'll finish his career in Chicago. Okay. It's just a matter of when they want to get that deal done, knowing that he is entering the final year of that contract.
All right, good details. What's happening with the stadium, you think, ultimately here? Is this going to be lakefront? And when, like, I don't know, is there any sort of timeline on to when they might say, yeah, here it is, here's how we're going to pay for it, here's what the state's kicking in, and shovel goes in the ground in a month? Like, are we anywhere near that?
No. And it's still, you know, Kevin Warren said that they're close as far as, like, revealing renderings and a video of what that area would look like. And, you know, giving an idea to the public about how much, you know, public money is going to be required for the infrastructure, the ingress, egress, all of those things that matter. All we know right now is it's more than just an idea, and it's their focus. Because this does in a way follow a similar playbook to what happened in Minnesota when Arden Hills, you know, that part of the playbook, that falling through, and then Minneapolis swooping in to get, you know, to keep the Vikings there at the site of the old Metrodome. But this, I cannot imagine Arlington Heights now, despite the proposed tax cut that came through that the Tribune was reporting about last week, I can't imagine all of a sudden you'd be able to, like, throw a Hail Mary and it would take the Chicago Bears off of their path to stay in Chicago. Not with the way that Kevin Warren's talked about this. Like, they are focused on making it work on the museum campus. There's a lot to do there. And of course, we know with the White Sox and the partnership, rather, they didn't call it necessarily a partnership. It's more like you're not competing for the funds. They want to make both stadiums work equally as well.
Yeah.
But the rhetoric around this team right now and the stadium, it would be a terrible look if all of a sudden, after these glowing comments about the city of Chicago and a new mayoral staff being able to pick up the pieces for the last one to keep them here, if that all of a sudden didn't work out, that is, it's not a good look, considering this thing is already, what feels like it's already been delayed. Obviously, there's a lot of moving parts in this, but what I gathered yesterday from talking to Kevin Warren is that something will happen. They've got to take advantage of it this year, because every year that they don't have the new stadium, they're losing money. It's going to cost them more. But the Soldier Field site is their sole focus, and it's not like they're all of a sudden just going to start entertaining something with Arlington Heights, because it seems, at least from what's out there right now, the city's at least attempting to come around on some of the demands.
One more thing before we let you go. Is there, this is, you know, we got a long way to go before we see any sort of real competition, before they put the pads on and things like that. But is there a competition for the starting center, or is it Ryan Bates?
I think it's Ryan Bates. Everything that I've been told, that he is going to be the person going in as the starting center, and that Coleman Shelton will be depth for now, which is great. I mean, you have a guy who was a 2-year starter at the center position as your depth. That's a good position for them to be in. But they love Ryan Bates. They loved him in 2022. And they love him now, to be able to get him here and have, you know, give up a fifth round pick when they didn't have a lot of picks to begin with, in order to bring him in and have that position shored up before Caleb Williams gets here in a month.
All right. Anything else we should know, Courtney?
I you know, the owners meetings, it's always a really good time to kind of take the pulse on what are people talking about in the NFL. And I just feel like with the Bears, the talk of the NFL Combine, like, they, even though it feels so obvious here with Caleb Williams, they're still the talk of the NFL, despite the fact that at number one, they're probably turning that pick in with a couple minutes on the clock, yep, into the clock, because of how confident everything is aligning for Caleb to get here.
All right, great stuff. Thank you, Courtney. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you. There's Courtney Cronin at Courtney R. Cronin on X. About those four draft picks, Ryan Poles talked to the media yesterday about that. And is it necessary that they move out of one of those spots to acquire more capital? We'll play what he said. We'll react to it coming up next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. Listen to us now, live on the ESPN Chicago app.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho.
Don't forget to hang with us tomorrow on the South Side. White Sox opening day. It's opening day across the bigs. Dodgers and Padres, of course, opened up in South Korea last week. But the other teams, the other 28, get going tomorrow. And we will be live on the South Side for the opener against the Tigers. Come by and see us at Cork and Carry at the park. Great place. Perfect spot to pregame and walk just a couple of blocks south to the ballpark when it is game time. The weather's going to be pretty nice. We've had worse, that's for sure. They're saying, you know, partly sunny, about 49 degrees. We'll take that on opening day, considering we've had days in the 30s with snow.
I'll be putting the jeans back on.
Really? I'm surprised.
Yeah,
at you.
Why would I not? I mean, well, exposed to the, not today, but I might be exposed to the elements tomorrow.
Why?
I don't know how warm or cold it's going to be, because we're always at the front of Cork and Carry, right?
Oh,
we
will be tomorrow.
Two and a half, three, but yeah, 3-block walk.
I got you.
It's not as, you know, just half a block and a half a block.
Okay.
I could live with that, with a little bit of the legs exposed there.
No, show some leg tomorrow. Come on.
I'm a little shocked by this.
Give us a cap.
You know, might have some golf pants and some golf shoes on tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah.
Golf shoes?
What, are you a golf pro now? I mean,
you can roll up the joggers.
Sure I am.
You're going to wear golf shoes?
The way I putted down at Pinehurst, boy, they think
I tell you, I saw some good scores, kid.
Yeah, not bad. The 91 and the 90 were respectable for a 16-6.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's great.
For my index, CDGA member, by the way, Chicago District Golf Association. Got the app, Carm, in case you don't have it.
I don't golf enough to have it.
Well, what a shame.
Well, listen.
You should change that.
Someday.
You should change that.
Someday.
You still coaching this summer?
Yes, because this is the last year of Little League. So between Little League and travel, it's a lot.
Okay.
But this is my son's last year. He's 12. Last
year
of Little League.
Final year of Little League.
Final year of Little League. It ends at 12.
And he graduates to Babe Ruth.
I don't know. Cal Ripken,
Babe Ruth. Which one is next?
Probably not. I'll probably just stay with his travel team and go and do that.
Okay. Yeah. So it'll just be traveling in that house. So your early portion of your season is going to be a little bit easier.
We start our first outdoor practice is next Tuesday.
Good luck.
The hands will be clattering.
The hands.
All right, so tomorrow, Cork and Carry, come see us for the opener on the South Side. Here's Ryan Poles, Yurko, talking about the four draft picks the Bears have right now in this draft.
I do. We've looked at that. You know, if we don't move at all, I think that's 25 picks in 3 years, which is over, you know, eight and some change. So I like where we're at there, on top of, you know, being set up next year to have a pretty good setup as well. And I think it matches the draft. I think a lot of guys went back to school this year. I think you're going to see a significant drop-off. You know, hopefully some guys squeak through, but it actually, the way we're set up in the draft this year actually pairs up really well with how I think it's going to play out.
Interesting to hear him say in his tenure here as the general manager, if they just stick with their four over his 3 years, they'll be just over 8 picks per year. And they really loaded up the last couple. It is 21 draft picks the last 2 years. So he's right. If they just stay and use their four spots where they are, they will have selected 25 players in his three drafts. And his explanation I thought was interesting. There does appear to be a pretty big drop-off after the fourth round, so they might be content saying, hey, we got four picks in the top 122. We're going to do the best we can.
I thought the receiver position was deep.
It is. 26 guys, Mel says, between rounds one and round four, you know, round one through round four grade. Yeah, that's a lot. It's a lot of guys.
It's a lot of receivers.
A lot of receivers.
A lot of receivers to come in.
Do you want to take a look back at those 21 and
I would love to
see how you
back.
Feel about them?
Yeah, because one second rounder was used for Chase Claypool.
Yes.
Another second rounder was used for Montez Sweat.
Well, that was a second rounder that they traded this year, yes.
Yeah, no, yeah. I know which one. Just I'm saying second round picks have been traded for players.
Yeah.
One is a success.
Yeah.
One was an absolute failure.
Yeah, saying, yeah.
Epic failure.
And they just traded a fourth rounder for Keenan Allen, but we think that he'll be pretty good on
the field.
Yeah,
and a fifth rounder for what's probably a backup running backup center.
Well, Courtney thinks he's a starter though.
We'll just find out. We're gonna find out.
It was funny, I was having Thayer on Friday in your place. He was saying, and he said it a lot, like if you've listened to Bears broadcasts, I mean, I know he feels the way you feel about Darnell Wright, but we were talking about it. I said, you sound like Yurko sounded early in the year when you watched like a game and a half and said, don't worry about Darnell Wright.
Yeah,
he's going to be terrific.
Concern, yeah.
like Darnell Wright's a 10-year right tackle. Like he's going to be a terrific player.
He'll
so like,
fine.
That's a great one. Trevon Dexter, I know you like him. You think
he
got better.
I'm a big fan of him. I think he got better over the year, and I think he needed this offseason.
Yeah.
And at defensive tackle, I think it's very tough.
Yeah.
It's a rarity to have a guy come in and be an instant success like Warren Sapp or the kid
Donald.
That was in Seattle for Aaron
Cortez
Donald.
Kennedy.
Cortez Kennedy. Yeah, that's the rarity. So, yeah I'm a fan.
You're a fan. Thayer is too. He thinks Dexter's good. Tyreek Stevenson already looks like a player.
We know he can play. Yes, go.
Zach Pickens.
Getting there. I think he was further ahead of Dexter than at the beginning of the year. I think Dexter kind of found a way to pass him, so Pickens needs to bring his game up.
So far we've got like hit, and maybe in between?
Yeah, in between for Pickens.
Roshan Johnson, I know it's a running back, but
Roshan, it doesn't make a difference. 3 years from now, we'll get rid of him.
So
but
you want me to just...
I'd say he's fine.
Okay.
I'd put a... not a hit, a flare. You know, I don't know what your below grade of a hit is.
If you're investing reasonable money at another at the same position on another guy, can you say that it's a hit?
Yes.
It's running backs.
Yes, because it's not top of the line money.
Yeah, yeah, and it wasn't.
They didn't pay him $13 million a year.
Yeah,
they paid him eight.
Eight's
not 13.
I'll put that one flat. Tyler Scott right now is a miss, but he can change that. But right now it's
a miss.
Right?
Yeah, he's got to learn how to stay on the ground and catch the ball.
Noah Sewell. Special teams.
Too early to say.
That one's flat. Terrell Smith looks like maybe a hit, doesn't he?
I think he is. That's number 32?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, 32.
Travis Bell and Kendall Williams didn't play a lot. So there were seventh round picks.
We can sort of just like. Not minus like a negative,
right.
But just a hyphen.
But we basically had, you got four hits in your top.
That's pretty good.
You know, five rounds.
And you want to hit early.
Yeah.
You know, the Puka Nakos of the world are just absolute bonuses.
The year before, Kyler Gordon looks
hit.
Like a hit.
I like him.
Jaquan looks
hit.
Like a hit.
Brisker, a hit.
Valus is a miss.
Miss. Big whiff.
This is an interesting one. Braxton. As a fifth round pick who started at left tackle for the last 2 years, are we
I'd say he started for you. He's a hit. And he's been an average tackle. So in the fifth round, you're not looking for home runs anyway. You're just looking for somebody to come in. His best value is being inexpensive.
Yeah.
He plays the position well enough at his price to where it's an advantage to have him out there.
Dominique Robinson, kind of like incomplete,
defensive
I guess, a miss.
End.
Yeah, he just hasn't factored
hyphen
much.
Hyphen slashing to an M.
Okay. Zachary Thomas on the O-line, that's a miss, but
not
that doesn't really matter. It's
not the linebacker, right?
It's a six-rounder,
not
no.
Zach Thomas, the linebacker.
No, not Zach Thomas, the linebacker.
Just making sure.
Tristan Ebner, I guess, missed, but again, it's a running back in the sixth round.
Late.
Like
it's late.
Doug Kramer hasn't played. Ja'Tyree Carter actually has given them some value as like a swing guy a little bit when they've needed him. As a seventh rounder, it kind of feels like a hit, believe it or not.
All right, put a baby H on that.
Okay,
baby H. Baby
Elijah
H.
Hicks has played some special teams and has played in some spot duty in their backfield.
You're going to need guys that get drafted there to be able to play special teams.
I mean, really?
And that's where their contribution is going to come when you're drafted that late. Inexpensive special teams players. Remember, 26 of these guys are going to be making the NFL minimum.
Right. Like the glaring miss.
Either a veteran's minimum or a rookie or second-year player minimum.
The glaring miss is Valus.
Got a new one. He's back.
Oh, God.
He's back. Don't jerk with Yerk. You got that 100% correct,
guys. He
was
gone for so long, I didn't get the video. Though,
I get you.
Yerko, I mean, other than the obvious Valus miss, and it didn't look
and
good.
And again, for those joining us, there's an individual who's walking around the block with a picture of Yerko in a fishnet, awesome. Giant fishnet, with little thought bubbles.
It's awesome.
And he's changing the thought bubbles.
This is the third thought bubble.
It's the third one in the last hour where he's walked by.
Stopped for a lunch break.
Right, exactly. Got lost in the alley.
And paper.
He stopped for a sandwich at Potbelly. Minus the Valus miss, which is a glaring one. And then, like, Tyler Scott was not good, but can get better. He was just a rookie. Like,
right.
With those 21 picks, so far, so good.
So we just did we did Brisker, which was 2 years
ago. Yes, we did
right?
The last 2 years. We did his first two drafts, which has been 21 draft picks.
Yeah.
And maybe four is enough. If you've got a Bears thought, ring us up at 312-332-3776.
It's.
He's been hitting.
He's been hitting early.
And that's fantastic. It's Carmen and Yerk. We're back in 2 minutes.